was at issue here was born in 2004. Parties separated approximately 2007. Now, all of this took place in Minnesota. Approximately 2008, Ms. Olson and the child moved from Minnesota to Nebraska. And they were here for about 10 years before the divorce case was filed in Nebraska in Polk County. During that 10-year period, the child, again, was with Ms. Olson, and she was raising him. He had regular visitation with the father from Minnesota. They had a schedule that worked. Then upon filing of the divorce case, ultimately the matter came to trial back in November of last year. Back in November of last year. And at trial, then, the court awarded Mr. Olson custody of the child and had the child returned to Minnesota at the conclusion of last fall's semester of school. So we're here today challenging and disputing the custody decision that was made by the lower court. I'm going to start first in that Nebraska Revised Statute 43-29-23 covers five different sub-factors that the court shall address when doing a custody analysis. The court indicates that they found no credible evidence by either side of any abuse toward the child or toward each other, so I think sub-factors D and E are automatically gone. So we're looking at the first three factors in here. And our position is that the court put an inordinate amount of weight upon the second factor, which was the preference of the child. The court overlooked a lot. Rather than doing a balancing test between these factors, the court indicated that you're looking at the first factor, which is the relationship of the child to each parent. The court talked about how the child had a great relationship with both mom, dad, mom's family, dad's family, and also, of course, on the third factor, the general health, welfare, and social behavior of my child, the court said that Ms. Olson did an excellent job raising the child, that she was providing for his emotional and educational needs. In fact, the records show that she homeschooled the child through fourth grade and into fifth grade to help him get caught up with math. And as he was, at the time of trial, he was in eighth grade, he had excellent grades, he was doing very well in school.
So Lucas was 14 at the time.
Correct, Your Honor.
And he spoke to the judge to tell the judge what his preferences were.
Correct, he did. And he indicated in chambers that his preference was to be with his father. And again, the court indicated, at least on the first and third factors, that Ms. Olson was doing everything correct. There was nothing negative about what she was doing. The sole reason the child testified as to why he wanted to live with his father was some of the conditions in the house. The house was not as clean as he wanted it to be. There were some pictures that were offered into evidence. Ms. Olson testified that those pictures did not represent the accurate state of the house on a regular day-to-day basis. It was just at that point in time she took the pictures were taken, the house was not clean.
There were some problems with pets.
Correct. And Ms. Olson addressed that at trial. She indicated that one of the cats had was, I guess, marking his territory and urinated on the child's mattress. Since that time, the mattress had been sanitized. That was isolated into the incident. It had not happened again. We believe that the judge, rather than kind of balancing these three relevant factors, he placed an inordinate amount of weight upon the preference of the child.
She had also moved to three different communities in Nebraska after she moved here from Minnesota. Is that correct?
Yes, you're correct. She initially moved with her family, I believe it was in Osceola. Then the family home was being sold, and she had to move. She went to Columbus for a short period of time until she found employment in Lincoln. So she moved to Lincoln, and that's where the child was attending school at the time of trial.
And the appellee had remained in a fairly steady position and had a home with a bedroom for Luke up in Minneapolis, I believe. Is that
correct? Correct. But the trial court judge did not hold, I don't believe he held those moves, I don't believe she held those moves against Ms. Olson. I don't believe in her order, her decree, that she had indicated that caused instability. But despite all that, we have this minor child who's doing outstanding in school. And we have the fact that for 10 years, these parties, between the two of them, came up with a parenting plan that worked, and the child was thriving under that plan. And then this order from the court kind of upset that apple cart.
Counsel, I'd like to turn to the issue of the granting of the removal to Minnesota as a part of the custody order. And one of your assigned errors is that the court didn't do what we call the Farnsworth analysis.
Yes, Your Honor.
Even though the court in its comments after trial indicated that it would do a Farnsworth analysis.
That's correct.
But it's not really found in the order, although
cases of original establishments of custody where one parent is in one state and the other parent is here in Nebraska.
But the courts have applied fines for initial custody cases.
Absolutely, and I would expect that they would do so. And I don't know if a detailed Farnsworth analysis is necessarily required in this, but rather than they kind of looking at the three broad factors under Farnsworth.
I guess what wouldn't really fit here is there would be no question about the legitimacy of the father's desire to live in Minnesota.
Absolutely. The motives, I would agree that the motives are...
Then you'd go to the best interest.
Correct, which is like the second part of that. And that's the potential that move holds for enhancing the quality of life for the child and the custodial parent. And in my brief, I try to address each of those nine sub-factors and kind of doing a balancing test on each one of those. And again, focusing on the fact that what Ms. Olson was doing with her son was working for 10 years. They had a parenting time schedule that they cooperated, they worked with each other, and heavily involved the help of the grandparents. Everything seemed to be working, and it seemed to be working great.
In fact, the court found your client to be a fit.
Absolutely, absolutely. And additionally, one of the parts of the Farnsworth analysis is looking at what type of parenting time would work, and that kind of leads to the final assignment, the final error that was assigned, which was the summer parenting time. I believe both sides have agreed that that is a valid error, and that the judge abused discretion or committed plain error by only allowing Ms. Olson parenting time every other summer in the decree.
This situation is unique in the fact that I don't think we've had another case prior where the parent seeking custody has been in the same location, has never been in Nebraska, whereas the mother and the child moved from that location to Nebraska.
Correct. Nor have we had a case where they've been separated for 10 years prior to the original establishment.
Because there was no prior custody order in this case.
That's correct.
Now, in the paternity cases, have they, in a situation similar to this, if this were a paternity case, would they have required a Farnsworth analysis?
Yes, actually it would. It would be just a kind of a basic Farnsworth analysis, just kind of looking at the three general analysis. I believe like the Coleman-Taylor case talks about that, how there's just a general Farnsworth analysis, maybe not as in detail as in other cases.
Well, couldn't you argue that that's what the court did here? They did a general Farnsworth analysis. They just didn't break it down into the nine different categories.
I suppose it could be argued that. You could argue just about anything, Jeff. Whether or not that's correct, though,
well, she went on for three or four pages delineating the evidence and saying why she thought it was in the best interest.
She did a best interest analysis for the child based upon that present situation, but I don't think she spent enough time looking at the effect of a move from Nebraska to Minnesota, the effect that would have upon mom's parenting time, as well as the relationship the child would have that he has here existing with this step-sibling, or sort of this half-sibling, as well as the maternal family here. There was not a whole lot of analysis on that issue, which are included as part of the Farnsworth analysis.
Can you remind me what the record shows the distance between where each party lives is?
If my recollection is correct, I believe it was about 9 hours. 7 to 9 hours.
Right.
It would be Minneapolis,
right?
Correct. It would be Minneapolis. So I reserve the remainder of my time to answer your questions.
Thank you.
direction of the home. Lucas testified that he went to school smelling like cat urine, and that kids commented about the fact that his clothes smelled like cat urine on one or two occasions. He testified that the animals would urinate on his bed, the cats would urinate on his bed, and if his door was left open, the cats would come in and urinate in his closet. He testified that, yes, the mattress was sanitized. He sanitized it himself, I think was the testimony, but then he could still smell it sometimes when he would roll over. And so it was not necessarily a matter of not as clean as he preferred it to be, because I don't think anybody prefers to go to school smelling like cat urine, having peers talk about the fact that they smell like cat urine, wondering where the smell is. The court also made comments about the fact that Mr. Olson, well, it is true, and Lucas was doing wonderfully in school once he was put back in public school. The testimony was that he was calling Mr. Olson to help him with his homework. But Mr. Olson was the one that would spend the time over the phone with him doing his homework when he was doing his math homework. I think Lucas testified to that, and I think Mr. Olson testified that they had many conversations a week going over homework.
What kind of weight should be given to the fact that mother was the custodial parent here, although there's never been a custodial determination for 10 years, and that this boy is doing really well?
I believe that there should probably be, the court needs to look at how well he's doing and give some of that credit to mom. I agree with that. However, I do believe that in these circumstances, again, there's not been everything presented to the court. When Mrs. Olson left and moved to Nebraska, that was what was best for the family at that time. She didn't have relatives in Minnesota. Her relatives lived in Nebraska. I believe that the testimony, if I remember correctly, was she wasn't working, she hadn't been working, and she moved back so that she could have the support of her family. I don't believe that because of how those circumstances played out, and because it worked for the family for a period of 10 years, that should make Mr. Olson have less of a chance of getting custody if it's really in Lucas's best interest, and that's what Lucas wants to have happen, that he should get less of a chance and less of an opportunity to have custody and to be able to have Lucas come and live with him at that point in time.
And there was evidence that your client does have some extended family in Minneapolis.
Correct. His mother and father, and then I believe he had some siblings that lived in Minneapolis. The evidence was also that a lot of the extracurricular activities that Lucas was allowed to participate in, even in Nebraska, were paid for by Mr. Olson's parents. Mr. Olson was the one that provided all of the transportation costs to have Lucas come and visit him. And in fact, was in agreement with the court that he would continue to help with the transportation costs and ask that Mrs. Olson not pay any child support in order so that she could continue to have the visitation with Lucas without any expense to her.
You both agreed that the lower court made a mistake when she did not provide for the summer visitation, the extended summer visitation to the parent. Other than that, was everything pretty much agreed to in the parenting plan, assuming once you get by the custody determination, was the rest of the visitation schedule agreed to or not?
No. I don't believe that there was a stipulation to the parenting plan. The parenting plan that was presented that the court basically adopted was the parenting plan that Mr. Olson provided to the court. And in that parenting plan, we had provided for summer visitation every year. However, the date of when it started changed. In the odd numbered years, if I remember correctly, in the odd numbered years, it started earlier because Lucas's birthday happened to be in the summer. And so we had started it so that one year
was your first opportunity to present your side, and it sounds like you both were in agreement that it should be what you proposed in your parenting plan.
Well, I believe that it should be what I proposed in my parenting plan. I guess I'm not sure what Ms. Olson's position is. However, yes, I do believe that that it should be so that every other year that
she did assign error to the court summer parenting plan.
Correct.
Thank you.
Your Honors, with that, I am asking that the court uphold the remainder of the court's order. I do believe that the summer parenting time should be addressed, but with the remainder, I do believe that the court should uphold that, continue with the discussion with his father, with parenting, with his mother.
Thank you. How much rebuttal time is remaining?
1 second, Your Honor.
Thank you,
Your Honors. Again, the court did find both parents to be fit parents. The situation is not broken. We have 10 years of success. 10 years of proof that the parenting time schedule that they had was working. There's no